Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Well, markets sure had a move this week. Stocks this week saw the biggest gain and the biggest one-day loss than we've seen for the entire year. S&P 500 didn't finish off too badly. It was off 0.2% for the week, down year-to-date 13.5%. Yeah, ouch. Dow was off 0.2% as well. It's off 9.5% for the year. NASDAQ down 1.5%. To be down 22.4% year to date. That's really where the pain has been. I'll talk about that in a minute. Oil closed at 110.51 a barrel, up 46.9% for the year. And bonds still getting hurt, down 10% for the year. So what happened? Well, stocks came for sale this Thursday. Markets were shrugging off the Powell commentary, which I'll get to in a minute. We've been waiting for that, as you know, Cinco de Mayo. And began to price in. The market was doing this all by themselves, pricing in a 75 basis point rate hike for June, even though that's not what Chairman Powell said. So the S&P 500 fell 3.56% in one day. Now, what drove that? Well, China's PMI, this is their services PMI, it crashed. I mean, it was just a flat out boom. And this was because of the detrimental effect their zero COVID policy and lockdowns has been having on these estimates. So that those numbers showed it. Boom, bad data. Market didn't like it. You add to that, there was productivity and cost data showing declines in output because there's nothing to or slowdown in goods that we make here, right, than producing things. So that was a problem, showing a slowdown there. And despite Powell's comments, the futures market started to price in a 75% chance of a 75 basis point rise in June. Now, that's what's so interesting. I'll talk a little bit more of that in a minute. So that dynamic also saw a downside in not only stocks, but bonds as well. And stocks made new lows, with the S&P 500 down nearly 5% in a day and the NASDAQ down 6% before there was a little bit of a bounce. Now, what should you make about last week? I got a lot of questions about this. So let's talk about it. Volatility in the market, it's nothing new. We've been talking about that, but it exploded this last week. And I want to start out by saying nothing in Powell's commentary Wednesday was good enough to cause that 2% rally that we saw that afternoon. What I think drove that was short covering and fast money funds and traders, period. Similarly, nothing really justified that 5% drop on the NASDAQ on Thursday. There was some negative news, sure. Tech earnings were bad, highlighted by SHOP collapsed, down 15%. That caused more selling in the tech space. And it's notable that while the NASDAQ and the Vanguard Growth were down 5% that day, the Dow and the Vanguard Value were down just 3% and 2% respectively. So my point is that tech remains the driver of these wild moves, but outside of tech, the declines are pretty manageable. In addition to the bad tech earnings, the Bank of England hiked rates and warned explicitly of looming economic slowdowns. U.S. economic data was bad, as I talked about. The productivity dropped and unit labor costs rose. And like I said earlier, one of the main reasons I think for Thursday was Chinese economic data. It was just flat out horrid. And Chinese authorities continue to defend their zero COVID policy. So we can count on China to export slower growth and supply chain madness for the foreseeable future. Again, were these negatives worth a 5% drop in the NASDAQ or a 3.5% drop in the S&P 500? No, not fundamentally, but this is a very jittery market. And bottom line is we're going to continue to expect this type of high volatility given just the uncertainty of what's out there right now. So what did the Fed's decision Wednesday mean for the markets? We've been talking a lot about this. Well, first of all, as you heard, I'm sure it's all over the place, the Fed said they were going to raise rates 50 basis points, 0.5%. And this was the first time in a long time we've seen that back to back. And the reason the market liked it Wednesday was that Chairman Powell, instead of saying, you know, that he was going to continue this 75 basis point hike in the future, basically said that wasn't on the table going forward. And that was a revelation, which I think was deliberate, because this was following their previously announced quantitative tightening of $95 billion a month starting in September, and some optimistic commentary on inflation. So this may be what we call Fed max hawkish, meaning that right now this is as bad as it's going to get. And so if that's it, then that reveals a positive potentially out there, and I'm going to say out there for stocks overall, call it the medium and longer term. Because if the Fed talks tough on inflation, yet they don't raise rates as much as feared, then we have a natural backing off of inflation based on supply chain fixes, slowing growth. And then that scenario where inflation drops, say, to the 3-4% range and the economy doesn't go into recession, that outcome is positive for what we call inflation-linked assets, stocks, commodities, hard assets like real estate, and we'll talk about oil and gas and gold here in a minute. And theoretically speaking, a return to the old highs in the outcome shouldn't be ruled out 100%. Now, I'm not saying that what's going to happen, because I think it's too early to tell, and I'm not flip-flopping on my 4,200 to 4,600 S&P target for 22. But what I'm saying is that the market has priced in a lot of Fed rate hikes, and if the Fed is talking tough but doesn't actually hike as much as expected, then inflation will stay elevated but not crazy high. And that's a long-term tailwind for stocks, commodities, and real assets. So continue to keep your eyes on what the Fed says. Russia-Ukraine war, obviously, and what China's going to do with the COVID lockdowns. Those are the three headwinds right now in stocks. So technically right now, we did breach that level I've been talking about on the S&P 500 this week. So that's not good. The support level was breached. And so the next support would be 4063, if you're keeping track of it, 4063. What's working right now, outperforming right now? Value, cyclicals. We've been talking about that for a long time. Nothing new there. What's underperforming? Tech, growth stocks. So just, you know, be aware of that. As higher interest rates go, that's a headwind on tech, and it's a rotation from growth to value, point and simple. And then we've been talking about that. Now, what about commodities? Gold. Gold did move to new highs. However, once future markets began to price in that 75 basis point hike on Thursday, like I talked about, then the gold started to come up for sale, and it reversed course and fell back to the new support level of 1870. And gold is in a pullback in an otherwise uptrending market, but there are cracks emerging in that, and the headwind on the strengthening dollar and rising rates remain a big threat for gold medium term. Now, natural gas futures rallied another 3.89%. This was a big deal. 14-year highs right now. We just saw short of $9, what they call MMBTUs. This is incredible. That's a tremendous drive overall in that. And hot weather boosting power demand. Multiple parts of the world is driving some of this. But on the charts, this is just new highs after new highs after new highs. So again, there's places of success in the market. You just have to be diversified, and you have to know where to go to get it.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.